Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the Lord's house. Don't you appreciate those who lead us into God's presence and worship up here on the platform? We appreciate them, yes. This morning, I didn't look up in the Pew Bible, but we're going to be looking at Luke 10, 38 through 42. Again, if you don't have a Bible of your own, we always want to make it known that we want this to be a gift to you. And could I ask you gentlemen to close the back door? The back lighting is very bright. Doug, could you close the doors in the back? It's very blinding. I like to see your faces. Sometimes, if you got a frown at me, then I don't want to see it. So, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in a world that is divided, in a nation that's disturbed, in a time of history when it just seems like there are a lot of distractions in our world, trying to distract us from what's true, trying to distract us from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would settle down over us this morning, remove the distractions in our hearts and minds this morning, and our concerns, and help us, Lord, to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what you have to say to us through your word today. Make your strength perfect in my weakness as I deliver the message, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. 3 weeks ago, I preached on the strategies of Satan to draw us away from God to the point of disobedience and to the point where we forfeit all that God has for our lives as we looked at the account of Eve in the garden and the fall. I would call this message part two. I just want to recap what I preached 3 weeks ago about the enemy's strategy. There were the three D's: distraction, deception, leading to disobedience. Eve was distracted by the forbidden tree. She believed Satan's lie, and in distrust of God, she disobeyed. And of course, the counter to that is God's strategy, the three T's. We need to turn to God, we need to take time for God, and we need to trust God. Today I'm going to be sharing from the Gospel of Luke that takes us further into the reality and the issue of the first D, distractions. Probably the biggest issue we often deal with as followers of Christ. Now, I don't mean this braggingly, but as I stand before you, I have no desire to listen to Satan's lies. I have no desire to disobey God. But I have a problem in my life. I get distracted. And if we are sold out to Jesus Christ and we're a follower of Him, we're probably not going to, not that we let down our guard here, but the bigger issue may not be disobedience. The bigger issue may not be listening to the lies of Satan. But the issue I think that we are all grappling with in our culture, in our world, is being distracted. Especially in our American culture, that nurtures the dynamic of living distracted lives from the things that matter most. And the scary part is, this is filtered into the church of America. When I see someone driving down the road at 80 miles an hour and they're on their phone distracted, it reminds me that they're not thinking of what really matters. The things around them, the people around them. And this is played out in sharp contrast in the account of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, with two sisters that were dear friends of Jesus. Let me read that to you this morning. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." So let's just look at the context of what's taking place here. The cultural proper thing for Martha and Mary to do was to show hospitality to their visitors. It's a culture where they were supposed to open their home to those who were on their way somewhere if they needed a place to stay and a place to eat. It's even a biblical principle that believers and followers of Christ should show hospitality. What Martha was doing in itself is not inappropriate or sinful. In fact, it was a service to her guest. But the issue was not what she was carrying out, but the core of the issue was the position of her heart as she did a good thing. The scripture says, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made." In life, one thing I've learned in my own life, and as a pastor, you especially deal with this, and as people living in this world, if we're paying attention, we deal with this. The obvious issue is not usually the real issue. Amen? But what's on the deeper level, in the position of the heart? Mary had Jesus right there in her own home. But her attention was not on him. We have Christ in our own home, in our own heart, in our own life, if we're a believer. Do you believe that this morning? But how often do we have him in our heart, in our home, in our lives, and yet we're distracted from him? Martha turns to Jesus with her complaint against Mary. And here's one of the true issues of her heart. She said, "Lord, don't you care?" Here she is questioning the Lord's virtue in her anxiety. But because her expectations were not being met, she questioned Jesus and his care for her. And Jesus, as he always does, he goes right to the heart of the issue. He says, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things." There's the problem. Upset, worried about many things. Jesus identifies that Mary has chosen the better thing. And note, as I studied this, I noted that there was not a big issue of Jesus addressing a differential between right and wrong. His emphasis was Mary chose what was better. Our sitting at Jesus' feet, Matthew Henry put it this way, our sitting at Jesus' feet when we hear his words signifies a readiness to receive it and a submission and entire resignation of ourselves to the guidance of it. And then this also was causing Martha to have ill feelings towards Mary. Again, the issue is not what she was doing, but how she was going about it. She was distracted. She was worried. She was upset. And what it was accomplishing was to distract Martha from the Lord and what he had to say and wanted to teach her. The feast at Martha, that Martha was preparing, became a distraction from the feast that Jesus was serving for the spiritual nourishment that was needed for the people that day. Martha's being troubled and worried, which is really, folks, a carnal mindset. Would you agree? Now, again, don't take this message as condemnation this morning. As I stand before you, I am very good at moments in my life of being upset and worried. It's something we all struggle with, folks. It's the reality of life. That's why we need this message this morning. This is to encourage us and to bring us out of that so we don't live in that place of being upset and worried. Even after what happened in Pennsylvania yesterday, we should be concerned, we should be prayerful, but we shouldn't let it distract us to the point where it causes us to be upset and worried and doubting whether God's in control. Amen? As I watched that news clip, and they showed the close-up of Donald Trump's ear, I seen the provision and protection of God. Amen? One little adjustment of his head as that bullet was flying towards him would have been fatal. Now, I don't know what God's plan is in the elections. I don't know what God's plan is for America. But to me, that was a reminder, and it grieves my heart that there were the ones that died and were injured. Yes, I'm not making light of anything here. But folks, we need to believe and have faith in God that He is in control. And yesterday, I believe, was a display. Now, I don't understand why God allowed someone else to die. I don't understand all that. But I still say God displayed that He is in control. And not only, and I'm going to say, I'll touch on this in a minute here, but not only is being upset, worried, and distracted a thing that takes us away from Christ, but Martha's actions towards Mary had the potential of drawing her away from Christ. So not only when we allow ourselves to be distracted and upset and fretting, we have the potential of maybe distracting and drawing someone else away from what Jesus is trying to do and say in their lives. But I love how Jesus addresses Martha. And I don't think I'm reading anything into the scripture here. He repeated her name, Martha, Martha. I don't think he was scolding her. I believe Jesus is speaking here as one in earnest, deeply concerned for her welfare. Folks, being such a distracted nation, our culture is, I think I can say accurately and truthfully, influence on our churches and God's people. When I was growing up, the culture respected the church in the community, and they would not plan things on Sunday. They wouldn't even plan things where I grew up on Wednesday night, because that's when God's people got together to have prayer meeting. But now, it's just the opposite. And maybe this is a little harsh, but I believe the God of sports has taken every day that used to belong to the church. If you don't believe it, just go down to 285, travel across. I've traveled across there to preach at a church before on Sunday, and the soccer fields are full. Now, I'm not condemning sports, blanket statement. What I'm saying is, I'm addressing those things that are trying to draw us away from listening and hearing what Jesus has to teach us and reveal to us. The scripture says in the last days, there'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And this often happens by getting distracted at home, just as Martha was, and we begin to get worried and upset by the practical but lesser things than God. That's the danger of this, folks. We allow practical things, or things that are practical to us, to take us away from the better things that Jesus has for us. Now, I don't bank too much on polls and studies, but there are some established ones out there that do broad studies and they don't use three people. Do you know for a study to be official, three people can be used? I read that in an article somewhere. But Barna, which we are aware of, in 2021 done a study of American Christians. And the average American Christian spends 1 minute a day, a pastor 5 minutes. Now again, I want to be careful with this, okay? But then Baylor did a study. 40% spend 1 to 2 minutes, and 44% less than 5 minutes a day. Now again, studies are sometimes questionable, but it does say something. Would you agree? Something's wrong if these studies are true. We're distracted. I'm just going to share my own life. This message has been impacting on my life. As I can relate, I am wired like Martha. I'm a perfectionist. I see details. I would have to be honest and admit that there are times I am ADD. I go out to my shop to do a project, and while I'm there, I see five more and may try to do them all. But I'm being serious. I'm not a sit-down kind of person. I don't like to sit. I like to be active. I like to be producing. And because of that, it is very easy, if I allow it, to get up early in the morning, go through my day, go to bed at night, and haven't taken time to listen to the Lord. Now, I do praise God. He is helping me in that area. I'm doing better. But you know why I'm doing better? Not because there's this legalistic expectation to be met, but I have a greater desire for God and less of a desire for the things of this world. That's what this is about. This is not about a legalistic checkoff list. This is about our desire to sit at the feet of Jesus and really desire to be with Him and want to hear what He has to say. And I don't know about you, but I'll confess, a lot of the things that distract me aren't that important. I think they are, but they're not. I like Richard Case's, I hope you don't mind me stealing this and sharing, Richard Case's philosophy. When we're getting all upset and distracted and worried, we should ask ourselves two questions. Is anybody going to die? Am I going to die? Even while I was spending time with the Lord, seeking His presence and getting direction, and I'm being totally honest here, I'm not making this up. While I was preparing and praying God's direction for this message, I had three texts from two people. I had an email come through my phone. And I had an Amazon notification that my order has shipped. And that was just in a short period of time. I had to silence my phone so I could get a quiet time with God and hear what He wanted me to do today. And I think just a question we need to ask ourselves, what do I need to silence so I can hear from the Lord? Now, my phone is immoral. It is neither good nor bad. Just as what Martha was doing. But it is what we allow these things in our lives to become that draw us away from the Lord that determines its impact along with many other distractions. And note, again, Martha's distraction was also trying to pull Mary away from her focus on what Jesus had to say and teach. Matthew 6, if you want to turn there, verses 25 through 34. Or it'll be on the screen as well. Jesus gives us further instruction. And I know this is a familiar passage, but I think it's a passage we need to remind ourselves pretty regular of. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Now I'll finish this in just a minute. When it came to Martha, I believe there was also an issue of trust. Being distracted, upset, and worried cannot coexist with trusting God. I'm going to say that again. Being distracted, upset, worried cannot coexist with trust. And folks, as I'm saying these things, this is not comfortable stuff, but it's true. I don't even hardly like saying it out loud. But think about it. If you look in your Bible and you look the sequence of how things were falling here in Luke, Jesus had just fed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. And now Martha is stressing out over feeding 12 disciples and Jesus. You see, what we are running after shows what is most important to us and what we really trust in. But Jesus gives us a key of what Jesus was trying to get at with Martha and to us this morning. Do not worry. Do not run after what the rest of the world is running after. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you or given to you as well. I brought this scripture up to my son one day about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll add all these other things to you. And here's what he said. And I think this might be what some of you might be thinking this morning or have thought. I said, "Josh, the scripture's clear. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you as well." And here's what he said. "Yes, but they send the bills to me." Don't you hate it when your kids put you to the test? And I'm not dishonoring Joshua in any way, my son. He's a wonderful son. But that's how we think, right? I really think he captured sometimes our response to what God says in his word. And his response makes a lot of sense. Just as Martha's seemed very reasonable at the moment. But here's what I've learned from trusting Christ in everything I do, or I won't say I always do, but here is what I've discovered in trusting Christ. Yes, there are needs that need to be met. There are bills that need to be paid. They do not go directly to God's accountant. They come to us. But as we seek first the kingdom of God, and we put our faith and trust in Him, and listen to what He says and teaches us, and obey His word, He provides us with the right opportunities, the right contacts, provision, and the jobs to pay the bills that will meet our need. Be careful of taking too much credit of what you have or what you're doing. Amen? God directs us. God provides for us when we seek Him first in His kingdom. I've always found that when I take time for God out of a desire for Him, I manage to get everything else done or see the things that are not that important. I'm a strong believer in the reality of God in our lives. And that when I run after God and His righteousness instead of all the things that the world is running after, God will fulfill His promises and we can trust His provision where we do not have to be distracted away from Christ and live worried, upset lives when we have a Savior and we have a Lord that supplies all our needs according to His riches in glory. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." God has an economy for our lives. But we won't discover it if we don't spend time with Jesus. And folks, I could stand up here for 2 hours easy and share what God has done in my life as I have sought Him first. But I'm just going to share one story with you. It's become a reference point for me. It's about diapers. Some of you have heard this story. But I had just finished college. I was waiting for my first assignment to be a pastor. And I get up one morning, and Elaine, my daughter was born in August, and she was just a few months old or a few weeks old. And I got up one morning, and my wife Elaine says, "Rick, I only have one diaper left." And I remember this like it happened yesterday. I looked at her and I said, "Well, Elaine, I guess you're just going to have to wrap her in a towel and pray." I went to work because we didn't have any money. We didn't have the money to go buy diapers that day, that week. I hadn't been paid yet. So I get home that night, and Elaine comes to me, and she said during the day, well, in the morning, Elisa woke up. She put the last diaper on her. And then about the time she needed to be changed again, there was a knock on the door. And there was a UPS man at the front door of our house with a box this tall and this big a square. My wife, way back when she first got pregnant, filled out a paper that said she'd be willing to try baby products. Not nothing specific. Baby products, and give a response to the product. on the day Elisa woke up and had used up her last diaper and needed to be changed, there was a knock on the door. God showed up through a UPS delivery man. 120 diapers. And there's times when I start doubting God. I start getting upset and worried and distracted, wondering how it's going to work out. How are you going to meet this need? And some of those most excruciating points, times have been the last 6 months. And God just kind of whispers in my ear, "Rick, remember the diapers?" I never thought diapers would be so significant in reminding me of who God is. Is there anything you're allowing to distract you from hearing what Jesus wants to say to you? I mean, think that through for a minute. Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, wants to say something to us. That's significant. Why does He want to talk to me? Why does He want to talk to you? Because He loves us. He cares about us. He's not out to scold us. He's trying to warn Martha. Martha, don't be distracted from what I have for you and to say to you. Mary chose the better. Matthew Henry said, she expected Christ to blame Mary for not doing as she did, but He blamed her for not doing as Mary did. Even as we get ready for worship, we got to be careful. We don't even let the preparation to worship here today distract us to the point where we get sidetracked and lose our focus on Christ. I could get so caught up in what I have to preach. And I don't mean that how it sounded. I love to preach God's word, but it's not easy. That it could distract me from worshiping Christ. Distractions come from so many directions that we do have to be purposeful and desirous to spend time with Jesus to hear what He has to say through His word. Not just to meet an expectation, but to have a desire to listen and contemplate what Jesus has to say to us through His word and through His Holy Spirit. Can I just say, folks, if we really get this morning and live in it, we're going to enjoy the life we live more. Christ's purpose, and we know this scripture, is to free us up to spend time with Him. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the flip side of the coin of that scripture is when we are distracted, upset, and worried, our heart is unguarded. And I can testify to that. Isaiah 26 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Don't that sound good? Just to be kept in God's perfect peace. Why? Because our mind is stayed. Or in other words, our mind is on Him. Two meals were being presented that day. Mary at Mary and Martha's house. One was physical, one was spiritual. One by Martha, the other by Christ himself. I believe Jesus would have been thrilled to death had Martha said, "You know what, guys? We're going to have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on a paper plate today so I can sit down and be with Jesus." So in other words, what can we simplify in our life prayerfully? Out of a desire for Christ, to make sure that we have time to spend with Him. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer as a congregation this morning. And here's the format for the prayer today. It's not new with me. 4 points: recognize, repent, reject, and replace. We're going to pray through these four things concerning being distracted this morning. And if the Holy Spirit has brought anything to your heart and mind that has been distracting you away from spending time with the Lord, let's come before the Lord. Let's recognize it. Let's repent of it. Let's reject it. Reject it, allowing it to distract us, and replace it with a desired time with Him. So I just want to bow our head. I'm going to lead us through these four things. And you just have a time of honesty with God. If the Holy Spirit has brought something to your mind as I have delivered the word, then recognize it. Then repent of it. And reject allowing it to distract you anymore. And replace it with a desire for time with Him. Heavenly Father, we are probably historically as America living in the most distracting time of our history. And even in our lives, there's even those who feel like the busier they are, the more valuable they are. Lord, if you've spoke to anyone's heart here this morning or online and put your finger specifically on something that's allowing them to be distracted or me to be distracted from what you want to say and time with you, I pray that you'll help us to recognize it this morning. Lord, I repent for myself and for us as believers who have often, we're guilty of neglecting you and letting the things of this world distract us to the point where we don't have time for you. Lord, we reject those things. And if there are things in our life that we can thin out and simplify so that we're less distracted, help us to be willing to be obedient in what you show us in those areas. But God, most of all, put in our heart, replace in our heart those things and desires of those things. May you replace and may we choose to replace it with a desire for you. May we have such a desire for you that when we do get busy and distracted, we start missing you and missing our time with you and hearing what you have to say to us. God, don't let this message go by and we walk out the door and forget it. Not because I preached it, but because you're wanting us to hear what you have to say to us. You want to spend time with us, and we need to hear what you have to say to us. The only hope of our nation this morning is if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will come and heal their land. We have a part this morning as First Baptist Church in the future of our nation and our community. But we're going to have to want to spend time with you. So, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you that you speak our name like you did Martha. Martha, Martha. Not to scold us, but to draw us back to yourself and get our priorities right so that our life may be filled with all the fullness that God has for us as your people and your followers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God put on my heart a question to leave you with for this week. If you were the only friend Jesus had, would he be lonely?